Okay, eventually I'm going to trot out a science fiction blockbuster, and then I'm going to talk about the Maple Leaf rookies, Austin Matthews, William Nylander, and Mitch Marner. But first, death. Today is Remembrance Day Sunday, or to the littlest kids among us, or maybe even some of the bigger ones, it's almost Halloween Sunday. Or if you're Anglican, you might call it All Saints Day, or if you're a Roman Catholic of the Mexican extraction, today would be called Day of the Dead, and I was going to say that in Spanish, but I can't. Or if you're Gaelic, you might call it Samhain. Since the dawn of time, this time of year has been associated with songs like How Far Is Heaven, which Pancake Lunch just sang, because many of the people who have died this past year remain very precious to us. It is good to think about death once in a while. We all need to prepare ourselves, after all. Besides death, especially young death, it has been in the news lately. In a most disturbing way, the Russians and the Syrians have purposely targeted schoolyards in Aleppo with snipers and mortars with the intention of killing children, and they have killed more than 30 just in the past 2 weeks. We've all seen pictures of the children who drowned trying to escape that war, or of children who barely survived the bomb rubble. 2 weeks ago, 4 girls aged 10 through 14 committed suicide in northern Saskatchewan communities. 10. And Tori Stafford's killer, remember the little girl who was kidnapped in Stratford? Tori Stafford's killer was in the news this week again, too. The truth is, there is no escaping death. From aging grandparents to occasional violence in our schools, from car accidents to serious illnesses, we're all confronted by death. As is the writer of Ecclesiastes. He, tradition says this is King Solomon who wrote Ecclesiastes, but I think that's a bit of a stretch. But he, the writer of Ecclesiastes, also has a fascination with death. There is, for example, the poem in today's scripture. I wonder if you caught all the allusions in it. It's like a riddle. So we're going to go through that poem a minute, a poem about death, and we'll see if you can follow along. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return with the rain, the onset of death is like a storm. On the day the guards of the house tremble, the arms, and the strong men are bent when you can't stand straight anymore, and the women who grind cease to work because they are few, the teeth, and those who look through the windows see dimly, failing eyesight. And when the doors to the street are shut, ears and aroma failing, and the sound of grinding is low, scholars aren't sure. That might be the teeth again, or perhaps lip smacking due to the absence of teeth. And one rises up at the sound of a bird, because with old age we do not sleep as well. And all the daughters of song are brought low when your voice changes and it becomes softer and raspy. When one is afraid of heights and terrors in the road, you're unsteady on your feet. And when the almond tree blossoms, when you have that glorious head full of gray hair, and desire fails, no comment necessary, and the silver cord is snapped, that's when your posture fails and you can't stand up straight anymore, and the golden bowl is broken, your head, senility, and the pitcher is broken at the fountain, incontinence, and the wheel broken at the cistern, heart failure, and the dust returns to the earth as it was. It's a long poem, but notice that the writer of Ecclesiastes tells this riddling poem about old age. He speaks it to and he tells it in the context of giving young people advice about life, about young life. Just before the poem, the writer of Ecclesiastes tells young people to rejoice when you're young and to follow the inclinations and the dreams of your hearts. I mean, go for it. And says Solomon, young people should also remember their Creator in the days of your youth. In fact, this encouragement is the writer of Ecclesiastes' antidote to the death that he then goes on to describe in the poem. For Solomon, remembering your Creator in the days of your youth is making sure that your life has, this is key, Solomon wants to make sure that your life has a depth dimension. Today we'd call this, well, maybe it's spirituality, maybe it's religion, maybe it's a philosophy of life or for living. Whether you're old and approaching the grave or young, and even when you are following the inclinations of your heart, and so you're doing sports and you're hanging out and you're partying, he says, okay, that's fine. But don't forget the depth dimension. What I mean is this. Your life is going to be as flat as a glass of Pepsi left out overnight. Or it is going to be, your life is going to be as flat as I would be if I auditioned for the choir. Your life is going to be as flat as a tire with a huge 3-inch rusty nail stuck in it if you don't find some depth. We need depth. Look, I'm a science fiction fan. Remember I promised you a science fiction blockbuster? I'm a science fiction fan, and the last science fiction book I read is by a new Chinese sensation whose name is Cixin Liu. And the title of this book is called The Three-Body Problem, and it was such a good book that last year it won the Hugo Prize as the best science fiction book written in the whole galaxy. Anyway, at one point in this book, the human solar system is under attack by extraterrestrials, ETs. And the weapon that the ETs are using to destroy human civilization is what's called a two-dimensional trap. Sounds serious, right? But this trap has width, and it has height, just like a piece of paper, 8.5 by 11, But this trap has no depth, like a box would have depth. You could put something into that box, or a glass, even a flat Pepsi has depth so that the Pepsi doesn't run all over. Everything that this trap touches slips from three dimensions into just two, from having three dimensions like a statue or a guitar to just two dimensions like a picture or a painting. And as you can imagine, that squeezes the life right out of things if they're suddenly just two dimensions instead of three. I mean, everything that's juicy and everything that's huggable and everything that's open sky or everything that swims in the deep is now as flat and dead as an expired driver's license. But that's how it is for us too. What the writer of Ecclesiastes is trying to do is use death, the inevitability of old age, and all of its attendant troubles. The writer of Ecclesiastes is trying to use the certainty of death as a lure to encourage people your age to create a depth dimension in your life so that it means a lot. Don't measure your life by how long it is, its length. Don't measure your life by how wide it is, how wealthy you become. No, for life to matter, for life to be worth it, for life to be really crazy and wonderful, says Solomon, it needs a depth dimension. You need to remember your Creator in the days of your youth. You have to stop long enough to consider what you're living for and how to do it. You need a depth dimension. You know, Toronto Maple Leafs, new young stars, Marner, Nylander, and Matthews, they have raw talent, and a lot of it. But they have something else too, don't they? I mean, they set their alarm clocks so that they don't miss practice ever. They stay after the practice is over to work a little bit longer and a little bit harder on the things they need to work on. They voluntarily sign up to do weight training every day of their summer vacations, which is amazing. They live with their parents instead of in party houses. They have goals that they work long and hard to achieve through dedication and sacrifice. And you know, those three guys, they have something else too. They have eyes on the back of their heads. Did you see how Marner shoveled that puck over right in front of the net for his third assist the other night? He couldn't even see who he was shooting the puck at. But he has that. He has eyes on the back of his head. He has hockey sense. He has a mind meld with his teammates. These young hockey players are not only great physical specimens, they have a depth dimension to their game. So listen, if you're young, I am here today to tell you that life is short. It's much shorter than you can ever know at your age. As with all things that are in limited supply, when things are short, they're precious. Your life is precious. This is your one chance to live this life not as something that's thin, like the soup broth fed to you when you have a fever, but this is your one chance to live this precious life, to live a life that is as deep as the Pacific Ocean's Marianas Trench, as amazing as a journey to the next star system, as rich as the love that King David had for Israel's prince, Jonathan. So what is this depth dimension? Well, here in church, we do deep by grounding our lives and actions and hopes and dreams in the example that Jesus gave us. Depth could be as easy as loving your neighbor by being nice, but it's often as hard as turning the other cheek or giving the coat off your back. It is living not just two-dimensionally for yourself, but it's three-dimensionally living for everyone who surrounds you. It's the stuff that Stevie Wonder sings about in the song that Pancake Lunch is going to do after the service. Deep life is when lovers keep on loving, when believers keep on believing, when sleepers just stop sleeping. Because it won't be too long. Oh no. Life is short. It won't be too long before the women who grind stop working and the almond tree blooms and all our dust returns to the earth. But believe me, till then, a focus on the depth dimension that following Jesus' path of loving is all about, following that depth dimension adds to your life, makes it rich. It's a fierce focus on the other rather than yourself. It's a decision to live in the world not just as raw life, but as someone who has eyes on the back of his or her head for justice and compassion and mercy. That's really living. That's deep. Amen. So we're going to listen to Pancake.